All right, we are in managed world again. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Preeti Karup. I'm program manager for the .NET Framework compatibility test team. And my charter is to work with Mike and NetFX ACC to integrate the breaking changes that they're creating, or approving rather, and making sure that the testing happens in with our test team in China.
Excellent. That's a lot.
Cool. So my name is Mike Downen. I'm a program manager lead on the Common Language Runtime team, mostly working in the managed space, so the base class libraries, the security model, that sort of thing. I've been at Microsoft now for just over 11 years.
Started off
as a developer in Office, and so I've done a bunch of different stuff over that time.
And you went to Brown University?
I did go to Brown, yes.
All right.
Proudly wearing the colors today.
Cool. So. Good school. And we're in this gentleman's office.
That's right. Howdy.
How you doing?
So my name's Alan Raitt. I'm a test manager for the Common Language Runtime.
Okay.
I didn't go to Brown. my prior experience was all military prior to coming to Microsoft. I've been here for 9 years.
Okay.
Part of my responsibility is some of the framework testing stuff across the framework, not just the CLR, and this is where compatibility comes into play. I also help work with our China outsourcing initiatives, and then do some CLR test management work.
Outstanding. So with each iteration of the CLR and, of course, the .NET, so .NET is the CLR and then all the other gook that comes with it, like the programming interfaces and good things like that. You guys break things. Just that's how it happens. So let's talk about compatibility and the next version of the, you know, CLR 4 and .NET 4. Like, what were some of your big challenges? And
sure.
Absolutely. For this, you should pan that way, and we'll start with Mike.
Sure, I can start with that. So I think the first thing to understand is that .NET Framework 4.0 is a highly compatible release. It's a compatible release with 3.5, 3.5 SP1, all of that good stuff, which means that most of the time you can take your applications, take your binaries, just run them on directly on .NET Framework 4.0, and those will work. Of course, we will occasionally break things over time, with generally the goal of making things better over time. So one of the things that I'm coordinating in particular is kind of a central app compat review process where we'll take all of the, you know, we'll take changes that teams want to make and kind of review them. Is there a way to make this compatible, keep this compatible? Kind of what are the behavioral impacts of this? So, and that starts with we have a very thorough kind of definition of a breaking change. So what is a breaking change? And we have a long, 20 or so page doc maintained by someone else in our team on kind of the definition of a breaking change. So, for example, clear breaking changes are removing methods or removing a parameter from a method. Mm-hmm. And those we just generally don't do. I mean, because if you change that, code that used to work will clearly not work anymore. So sure. We really try to avoid those hard binary breaking changes. The much bigger gray area, though, are kind of behavioral breaking changes. So a good example of a behavioral breaking change is, say, throwing a different exception at runtime than you used to throw before. So let's say, we've had, so some cases we've looked at over the past few months in the framework is we were throwing a null ref exception, a null reference exception, which is basically a bug. It's basically you have managed AV, so to speak. And we've considered changing those into more meaningful exceptions. So, basically being able to take a situation that's not debuggable and make it debuggable.
Great.
So that's an example of a breaking change that we'll actually approve in a lot of cases, where we think the benefit of making the change, to make something more diagnosable or debuggable outweighs the cost of the break, the kind of the pain of the break. And even in those cases, we'll often add what we call a compat switch, which is an entry that you can add to the config file that restores the framework to the previous behavior. So if you did, let's say, there are certainly scenarios where, you bought a control library from a vendor that's no longer in existence, or you don't want to upgrade to a new version. And that control library depends on the fact that this API, say, used to throw a null reference exception. Well, there, you don't have the code. You can't go fix up the code. You need that code to keep working. So you could use this config switch, this compat switch, to keep your app running. But over time, as people migrate, they should fix up stuff like that. But again, our goal is to make sure that migration is a really easy process. You don't have to rewrite tons of code. you don't have to change, you know, because maybe we decided to change some naming thing or something like that. The, any breaking changes you run into should have, you know, customer value as well. They're not just there to cause you pain.
Excellent. I mean, because when .NET was created to really make it hard to remember DLL hell and,
right.
and the native world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys basically have a bunch of libraries inside of a directory on the file system,
yep.
and then you load up that instance, and of course you have stuff in the GAC and whatnot. But with CLR4, you guys have managed to have you know, multiple versions in proc.
Right. Well, and that's another good point you're bringing up is, you know, kind of side by side in general, mm-hmm. what we call side by side. And 4.0 is a new side-by-side release, so it actually will sit next to, say, 3.5 on the file system. And in most cases, if you have a 3.5 app, that app continues to run against 3.5. You know, that's the right behavior for that application. There's no reason to float it forward to 4.0. Mm. And then new applications will run against 4.0. So that's kind of another compatibility benefit that we have over, you know, other apps, you know, where you only have kind of one version of that app on the computer at a time. And then the in-proc side-by-side is another situation you mentioned where, you know, say, especially for things like COM components, it used to be that COM components always ran against the latest version of the runtime you had installed on the machine. So if you installed 4.0, suddenly you had a bunch of code that was now running against 4.0 kind of automatically, which is probably not the behavior you wanted. So in-proc side-by-side is a good thing from a compat point of view. It keeps more code running against the version of the runtime that it was built against.
So how do you guys test the stuff? I mean, what's your, take us through, like, what
so,
are your, how do you do it?
So like Mike mentioned, V4.0 is not an auto roll forward. It does any app that's running on 2.0 or 3.5 right now is not going to run on 4.0 without you using a config file to specifically say that 4.0 is a supported runtime.
Hmm.
So we take all the apps that we can gather from the real world outside.
Hmm.
There are about 200 that we test in our App Compat suite. Some are apps like TurboTax or AutoCAD or Yahoo Messenger, New York Times Library, different WPF apps and Windows Form apps,
hmm.
and config them to target the latest runtime. And run our tests using our Record and Play, which is an system that automates UI interfaces.
Cool.
So
how's it doing? Let's talk brass tacks. I mean, let's out of the 200, how's it going? I mean,
so we have a 95% pass rate on all our applications so far. Client SKU, we are trying to get the numbers up, but for beta 1, that's not our goal, is not getting client SKU numbers up, but for we have high confidence in our app compatibility right now. So another part of the initiative is getting all our line of business applications within Microsoft also tested for .NET Framework 4.0 compatibility. And the test pass is underway, and so far of all the apps that have been tested, we've had about 2 or 3 breaking changes that were uncovered,
mm.
which have been fixed so that when beta 1 goes out, customers won't be running into the same issues.
Cool.
So we also have compat labs that we have planned in the last in the next few weeks with customers, TAP customers, and also people in MTC Center in Dallas are helping us set up compat labs. So
yeah.
all of that should help get our compatibility.
Yeah. We're kind of moving to that point in the release where
good.
It goes from, you know, up until this point we've been looking at kind of proactive changes that people are bringing to us, and we're now getting into more of the validation part of the release
right.
where we're saying, you know, okay, you know, we've built this thing, is it actually compatible or not? So,
right.
And we, you know, the App Compat suite is a great way to do that, but now, you know, as people pick up beta 1, we really want people to pick up beta 1 and run their apps on it, you know, make sure they work. If they don't work, file us a connect bug, you know, we'll fix it. I mean, that's a super high priority for us, is making sure the move from 3.5 or 2.0 or whatever you're running on now to 4.0 is as seamless as possible. So those are very high priority bugs.
Cool. Now, I mean, when you guys are designing the new libraries and the new CLR features, the test team obviously is in those design meetings.
Yeah.
And you guys, like security,
hopefully, I mean, obviously, you have compatibility in your matrix as soon as you're designing a feature, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we consider. One of the, just to more broadly speak about some of the challenges that we have, as you talked about with side-by-side, mm-hmm. and the effort to obliterate DLL, it creates a very unique set of testing challenges for us. We have to test with the standalone product on the machine, for example, V4 by itself. Then we have to test with V10 and V11 and V20 and V35 and V40 on the machine to make sure that in a side-by-side environment everything works. And within proc side-by-side, we have another set of testing challenges. And then we also just have the general compatibility challenges. If you do choose to float your application to the next version, mm-hmm. Does it behave appropriately? So we have a very large set of testing challenges that just come with being part of the .NET framework that a lot of other folks don't have the opportunity to face. Mm. So when we go through design reviews and we sit and do test plan reviews, we're always thinking about compatibility. It's one of our more important exit criteria. Right? We sit down and we discuss, does this have any ramifications for side-by-side, for compat? That's one of the key things that we discuss during reviews.
Excellent. So are you finding that, you know, here we are in iteration 4, that you're getting better and better and better with compatibility as time goes by, right?
In a couple of areas. Mike can probably speak more towards the product and the technical side of it. From the testing side of it, we're getting much better at testing for compatibility, that's for sure. Okay. We're starting to leverage resources that we have around the globe. Right? So we have some test teams in India, test teams in China. Compatibility in general is something we're doing better as a company. Mm-hmm. Right, we're being very intentional about it. So for us specifically, we're getting better at testing it. We're understanding better what to look for. We're understanding what kind of changes that can be made that will have a downstream impact on compatibility.
And as far as like tooling, right? So MSR, for example, these guys are creating tools that make it easier for you to understand, you know, concurrency, mm-hmm. which is a massively complex problem. Are there tools that you guys use that, say, can just help you automate compatibility?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for the binary compat breaks that I mentioned before, we use tools to detect all of those. So say if someone accidentally removes a method or changes a signature, we can detect that with a tool. So we'll find all of that stuff automatically. And really, you know, so it kind of boils down our work to the most gray area things, the things you can't detect through tooling. And to kind of go on what Alan was saying, I think we are, you know, 2.0 I think was a big wake-up call for us, and, you know, that shipped, what, 4 years ago now, almost 3.5, that, you know, that was our first really big second release, right, and 1.1 was a smaller release, and so, you know, and we learned a lot about compat, we learned a lot about the sorts of things people take dependencies on, and you know, kind of what our customers perceive as compat issues versus what we might think of as compat issues. So mm-hmm. I think we've taken that, you know, we've been more proactive in this release. I won't say we're perfect, but we've been more proactive about getting a review process set up earlier in the release and getting guidance out there earlier so that the product teams know, you know, the sorts of things our customers, you know, will run into. And, you know, we can always get better. But, you know, at least so far, I mean, the fact that we have such a high passing rate already, you
know. That's awesome.
We did most of our compat work for 2.0 from beta 1 through RTM. And, you know, we haven't even gotten to beta 1 yet, and I think we're ahead of that curve. So so it's definitely getting better. You know, always improvement to be made, but, you know, it's getting better.
So now do you have telemetry built into your compatibility, into, like, beta 1?
We are looking into having telemetry using telemetry and hook into Windows compat process because they have a very good system already.
Cool.
So that's in the works. We're just trying to establish a relationship with them to see if we can leverage their toolset already. But again, to going off of what Mike had to say about catching breaking changes upstream, we also have a process in place where we analyze the apps that we have statically. Mm-hmm. And any breaking changes that are brought to DDCC, they can request the app compat test team to look at the apps and tell them which ones mm-hmm. are statically linked to a certain entry point that they are interested in figuring out. Mm-hmm. And that gives them a better idea of how many real-world apps out there are actually going to be affected by a particular breaking change. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is...
So some of the core, like one of the things people always from the beginning complained about managed code, and understandably so, I mean, it's garbage collected. I mean, it's an incredible garbage collector, though, is performance, right? And then Rico Mariani, the great Rico Mariani, kind of killed a lot of that mythology. But let's say I'm a, you know, I'm somebody and I'm like, wow, 4.0's out. I bet they did some performance improvements, and maybe there, you know, maybe there were changes to the garbage collector, which people will find out in the series of interviews. You know, I want to use the 4.0 CLR, dude. I'm, the hell with the old one.
Yep.
And so then I'm going to just, in my config file, say use CLR 4.0.
Yep.
And if it breaks, I let you guys know, and hopefully
yep.
static will be able to figure out what to change. But
yep.
a lot of people will do that, is what yep. I'm trying to
yes.
say.
Yep, and that's exactly what we want people to do, and we want that experience to work the vast majority of the time.
Use so. The beta.
Yeah.
Use the beta.
Use the beta and send us feedback. But it is, and well, I think we actually have some guidance posted of how to
yes.
float your app forward
yes.
to 4.0.
We have a compat wiki that explains in detail how to target client apps and web applications and also unmanaged apps that use managed components. So
most, in the here we are in version 4.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption is that most managed code executing in the real world is executing on a server as ASP.NET. Is that fair?
That's probably the majority. I don't
okay.
know if it's the vast majority.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
but
so
the biggest pain is encountered by people who are using client apps.
Uh-huh.
So that
right.
is also something to consider. They may be in the majority, but when you have client app and they can't target 4.0 and have a lot of compatibility breaks.
Hmm.
That's something that impacts them more than it would a server app.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, we can have, from a scenario point of view, one of our big goals is to prevent compatibility issues from surfacing to end users.
Hmm.
You know, there's nothing worse than, and it's especially difficult with the framework from a scenario point of view because, you know, I'm an end user, I'm running a 3.5 app, it works. If I were to install 4.0, through some other app, say I install, you know, Yahoo Messenger and that brings 4.0 with it, and now my previous app breaks because it's running on 4.0, that's a really bad experience. You know,
absolutely.
I haven't touched that app, I made no changes to it, and all of a sudden the next time I run it, it's broken. So, you know, that's partially why we have side-by-side, so that that app will continue to run against 3.5. And even in scenarios where that app can't run against 3.5, you know, we want that to still be a highly compatible experience, so that app should work most of the time. So even where we have taken breaking changes, you know, we tilt more towards, say, if there's an API that doesn't work properly, but we're concerned that it's used by a lot of people and they've worked around whatever bugs are in it, you know, we won't remove that API. We'll put an obsolete attribute on it. We'll keep its behavior the same, and we'll maybe add a new API that does the right thing.
Mm.
And so, you know, any app that is out there that has run against that API and works, continues to work, and when the developer moves to the new version, they see that obsolete message, you know, they have the option to move to the new version. So it's really, you know, if there are breaking changes, we want developers to deal with that when they're recompiling the code, because
sure.
that's when they actually have a chance to address those, you know, rather than have it pop up to an end user at kind of a random time, or you know, or have it be something that's forced on you. You know, say if you have that third-party control library, you know, again, there might be some breaking changes that you work around with config switches rather than fixing the code. So, you know, breaking changes are a fact of life, but kind of mm-hmm. easing the migration path, making sure that you can address them when you're recompiling the code, you know, when you're doing that work anyway, rather than some kind of other random time.
Well, I mean, and one of the beautiful things of managed code is the ability to reason about it inside of code.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to, like, at runtime analyze executing managed code and be like, hey, this is going to be a problem. Let the person know, the developer know, or even bring in a different CLR that you detect is on the machine. I mean, the loader could do smart things,
mm-hmm.
yes?
Yep.
So
it could. We sometimes, usually when we try to be that smart, we screw it up, and we kind of screw people over. So we're not. We try to keep it smart but understandable. So you know, things like, you know, the obsolete attribute is the best. You know, hey, you've got, you know, you're using this API. You should really be using this one instead. It's better. Here's why. Rather than, you know, kind of just some random cryptic message. So
let's talk a little bit about testing in the case where And I just want to point out, that's incredibly cool. Those are all, that's a crossword, those are crossword puzzles.
They're jigsaw puzzles.
On a different planet, they are.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a tendency to be late for meetings, so I just throw the puzzle pieces out on the table.
That's
and then
amazing.
While people are waiting for me, they put them together, and then they end up on the wall, and I get credit for it. So
Alan's office is kind of an unofficial conference room.
It pretty much is.
It is. It's a nice one. It's basically right under Scott Guthrie, isn't it?
It's exactly under Scott Guthrie.
Sounds like he's up there playing some sort of game, shooting things.
Whenever I need him, I just tap on the ceiling. Yo, Guth.
Excellent.
So testing, there is an awful lot we could talk about here. One of the things about compatibility testing is when you take in applications from third parties or customers, you don't necessarily have all of the insight into how they tested it internally. So we go through a set of usage scenarios. So a lot of it ends up being manual testing in the beginning. And this is testing that's really, at times, quite repetitive and quite mundane initially when you start out. So one of the things that we did was we decided to take advantage of some teams that we had in China to do some of this testing, especially on the manual side. So we have a set of apps that they go through, and they do the point-and-click and basic usage scenarios just to ensure that the applications behave the way they're supposed to. And then we have another team that works side-by-side with them who work through the process of actually automating those. So one of the things that Preeti mentioned earlier is we use a record and playback framework. And one of the things that this allows us to do is as you go through and do the pointing and clicking and dragging and dropping, it records that. So later on, you can then take that, and it actually records it and generates managed code, and you can take that and make that an automated test case that then just plays it back in the future over and over again.
Interesting.
So we started off with the approximately 200 applications, and none of them were automated in the beginning. And over a span of, I think, 5 months now, we've gone from non-automated to 100% automated for that group.
I wouldn't say 100%. It's more like 70 to 80%. So,
wow.
So just to give you an idea, out of the 25 applications that we call our Pry 1 apps, about 16 or 18 are automated, and some of them aren't, only because there are limitations in record and play, and we just can't capture all the information using record and play, like rich .pf information. Sometimes they are bugs, because record and play itself is a Dev 10 feature, and we are dogfooding it for them. So.
Interesting. So what a lot of people do in sort of a test case is they're going to use libraries that somebody else wrote that targeted a different framework that they're going to want to pull into theirs, and then at least in 3.5, and I guess since 2.0, the IDE will pop up something and say, hey, we're going to change this so that it'll actually work in this context. Mm-hmm. Have you guys made improvements there? I mean, is it the same ballgame?
I think it's pretty much the same. I mean, you can still, you know, in a 4.0 app, you can still in the VS UI add a reference to, say, a 3.5 library, mm-hmm. and, you know, that just works. And, you know, it should continue to work. That's, again, our, you know, compatibility statement is those things should work. If they don't, you know, that's where we do definitely want people to take their apps, run them on 4.0, you know, mm-hmm. take VS 2010 Beta 1 and... you know, open your app in it, use all of those third-party controls that you're using, you know, let us know what works and what doesn't. It should work. So that's kind of the bottom line.
Cool.
We
and
want
if
to
not, run a different CLR version. Hell,
well,
memory is cheap, man.
Yeah, well, you can, I mean, and you do that. You know, most,
side
I mean,
by side.
One of the things that, you know, we found in our research kind of going into this release was, you know, so say if you use, you know, VS setup projects, or if you use something like Install Shield, those products will actually pre-rec the exact version of the framework that you were built against. So, you know, anybody who's using kind of a mainstream installer is going to be pre-reccing, say, 3.5 or 2.0 or whatever they care about. And that's the behavior we want. We want people to continue to do that. You know, that's the right thing to do. So... you know, again, there's always that to fall back on. You can always run against the version you ran on, and there'll be some cases where you just have to do that. But again, you know, we want people to adopt 4.0. We want people to use those cool 4.0 features, those performance improvements, you know, in proc side by side, all the new stuff mm-hmm. across the framework. We want to make it easy for you to move to 4.0. So, you know, try your app on 4.0. Anything that breaks, let us know, and we should fix it.
So they certainly will.
Yep.
That's, you know... and so one of the things, of course, that's interesting is the notion of interacting with native code. Very few client apps, I mean, theoretically aren't going to, I mean, they're going to be communicating with native code. I mean, they write their own platform and invoke crap, or somebody else did it for them, or they're using managed C++, but they don't have to do that. So how does that testing work with this latest version? I remember there's this no PIAs. We haven't covered that yet in this series, but it's still an interesting concept.
Are you talking about using compatibility tests for...
Yeah, compatibility testing.
Unmanaged apps that use managed code.
Yes.
So for unmanaged apps that use managed code, either in terms of an add-in or as part of the managed unmanaged app itself, the same thing applies like for managed apps where you could config the unmanaged app with supported runtime as v4o, and it should make the managed part of the code to run on v4o. Having said that, I think there are some changes coming in beta 2 for improv side by side where it's not going to run on the latest CLR that's on the box.
We're still tweaking a bit with the exact in-proc side-by-side policy and defaults. But I mean, Nopia, I know you'll talk more about that later, is a good example of a compatible feature. I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, you can still use PIAs, and any PIAs you have from previous versions will continue to work. So if you've built that app, you've deployed it, it will still run on 4.0. Nopia is kind of an opt-in new feature. Hey, if you want to get out of having to deploy the PIA, you can use this great new feature in VS and in the CLR, and you don't have to ship the PIA anymore. But awesome. Anything you built before still works.
Great, man. I mean, that's the story of compatibility.
Exactly.
And you guys, you know, I mean, you got 95% already at beta 1. That's rock star, man, compared to, say, some other products I can think of off the top of my head.
Oh, I'm sure you could. the other thing I guess it might be important to point out is it's not just, I know that this series is mostly Dev 10 and V4, but we also make sure that we're doing the right thing for compatibility for our prior releases. Mm-hmm. If we have another service pack for 3.5, we make sure that we run through our compatibility suite there as well. Keeping our current customers satisfied is a very, very important thing, even at the servicing level. Every now and then we're forced to make changes that might have compatibility ramifications, so we go through and ensure that we're doing the right thing as much as possible. And we also partner with Windows and a few other big ones. Like, we're working with them in Dev Labs right now for Win 7. So any folks that come in that want to try out their stuff on Win 7 that also have managed apps that they're trying out, we're partnering with them to give them an opportunity to work with us to make sure that everything's compatible. I mean, compatibility is important for the company. Matter of fact, compatibility is critical for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's rumor has it, it's potentially hurt us every now and then.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to certainly hurt the success of Vista. I mean, but the thing is, with something like Vista, that was a full new iteration of Windows. It wasn't just building off of XP. They actually went and really innovated from the lowest part of the system to the top. Broke a lot of things, and that upset enterprises and various people that were writing old applications. Mm-hmm. But Windows 7, of course, learned that lesson. It should be a lot more compatible. But still, compatibility in a galactic product like Windows is a little different than a managed library in a runtime.
It is. One of the things, though, to be very, very clear about is that we ship as a component when you look at 3.5 of Windows. So when you're thinking about Win 7 and you're thinking about the 3.5 version of the framework, there's a level of compatibility there that we need to ensure. We have, for example, 3.5 to 4.0 compatibility, but we also have this fun little set of things called shared components where you have the potential where you're updating things, for example, on Windows that are system-wide. You need to ensure that you haven't broken compatibility backwards as well, right? So anything that you may put in one of these shared components for V4 also needs to make sure that the V3.5 apps that were using those shared components continue to work. That's an interesting challenge for testing as well, because we have compatibility for servicing. So we have backwards compatibility and we have our forward compatibility story. So it's an interesting set of challenges.
Yeah, and the OS is an interesting comparison to, you know, our compatibility challenges. With the OS, it's like a zero sum game, right? Mm-hmm. There's one version of OS of the OS on your computer. You know, if they make a breaking change, you know, they have some mitigations, they have their own app compatibilities, but in general, that's going to break people. And, you know, so that's where we have, you know, kind of the multi-pronged approach of we have the,
you know, version side-by-side of 3.5 and 4.0 can both be there. We have in-proc side-by-side, where within the process we can pick the best version for you to run against. And then we strive for compatibility, you know, as if we were, at, you know, if, as if there were only one version. I mean, that's where I say, really, you should take your previous code, run it on 4.0, and it should work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, in reality, you know, we get to 90-95%, which means some people are going to be disappointed, and that's when those other mitigations kind of come into play.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right off the top of your head, what are some things that people are going to be disappointed with that you can think of?
Well, when I say disappointed, I mean, you know, some apps won't work because, you know, so, for example, we've taken some breaking changes, like I was talking about before, where we'll change a, say, null ref exception to
sure.
a more meaningful exception.
Sure.
And if, you know, if people float their apps forward and try to run them on 4.0, and you had an app that was catching a null ref exception to work around that bug.
Explicitly.
Yeah, explicitly. Yeah. And now we're throwing a different exception.
They won't,
you know,
catch it.
Yeah, it's basically going to look like a crash, right? Because it's going to be an unhandled exception. It'll throw up the Watson dialog. And, you know, and that's kind of our worst case scenario, because that's an end user, you know, who runs into this issue and, you know, has to, like, has no idea. Basically, their app just crashed. Now, you know, we already have the mitigation, as we've mentioned before, that we don't float apps forward to 4.0 by default. So, you know, somebody would have had to put down a config file that pushed that app forward to 4.0, or, you know, maybe somebody wrote a 4.0 app that used a component that did that and didn't test it thoroughly enough. You know, these sorts of things can happen. So we tried to take a bunch of steps to make sure this doesn't end up hitting end users, but it can still happen, and you know that's the disappointment. You know, in some small fractional cases, some apps or components will break, and you know, and people will be upset. But I think again, we have these kind of multiple levels of mitigations that make that, you know, much less likely.
Well, I mean, one thing I was just thinking as you were saying that was if there was multiple class inheritance, that probably wouldn't have been a problem, right? Because your new exception could have just derived from your old exception.
Right. Well, and actually it's
would that work?
Well, it's not a breaking change to, for example, to make an exception more derived. So say if you're throwing, you know, if someone's throwing a file.io exception,
mm-hmm.
and we want to create a cool file.io exception, right, that's a subclass of file.io exception, you can still catch file.io exception and that'll work.
Sure.
Where it becomes a problem is with something like null ref, where,
yeah.
you know, We can't make like a subclass of null ref that's like, you know, oh, not really null ref exception, you know,
sort of a null ref,
yeah,
exception.
Sort of null ref,
and
but we screwed up
that,
exception
too.
Or something like that. I don't think that passes the design guidelines. So in those cases, that's where it's painful, and that's where you actually have to move it. And again, you know, we'll provide a config switch, and in general, most code shouldn't run against that version anyway. But those are the sorts of issues we'll run into.
Cool. Excellent, man. And a lot of people are going to be playing with this, that's for damn sure.
Yes, definitely one.
You'll get a lot of data.
We do try to be as representative as we can of the kind of apps that customers actually have. So if you have apps or managed code, send them our way. So what will happen is if we have potential breaking changes before we even check the code in, to the best of our ability, we'll run our static analysis tool, see if any of that behavior may be affected that way. And then other times, even right now, for example, we're running through a full test pass of all of our P1 apps to verify some of the changes that we're thinking about taking are not breaking.
Hmm.
So we try to do it both after the code's been checked in, and in some cases, just because it may be risky in general, before the code's officially checked in, we take a private fix and we do a verification just to make sure. It depends on where the fix is, right? And where we are within the product cycle.
Excellent. And I know that with Beta 1 is the PCP people, parallel computing platform people, have a bunch of new libraries that are shipping. Should it be fun to see some of the telemetry from there? Just from, I guess, my own perverted sense of, I mean, it should be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you a question. I mean, how do you, like, do you guys use the same kind of connect process? So I'm a dev out in the real world, and I'm like, I find this really, really strange problem. I use connect like everybody else does, or?
If you have a Windows Live ID and a Connect ID, then you could go ahead and use the same Connect ID to file a bug.
Can you file from the IDE itself? Like click send feedback or something?
There's a feedback form, right? The regular Connect feedback form that gives you a high-level overview. It's not... That Connect bug form directly adds the bugs to our database, and we should be able to look at it from there.
Yeah, just please flag it as a compat issue.
Yes.
But we'll you know, just hey, mention, you know, this used to work this way in 2.0, and it now seems to be working this way, or I don't know what the heck's going on, but it's not working, and we'll definitely take a look at those and treat them as very high priority.
Great. Well, hey, you guys do a great job. I mean, it's not really sort of the high profile, you know, Scott Guthrie kind of stuff, but it's beautiful. You guys do great work, very important work.
Yep.
So keep on keeping on, man.
Yeah, probably won't have a PDC demo on compat, but it's important stuff.
If the PDC demos just work, it means that they're compatible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Well, I mean, one could argue that. I mean, why not sort of invent really interesting compatibility technologies where in the future automate the problem away, or when we have so much RAM and 100 cores, there's incredible things you could do.
Yeah. No, and that's, I mean, something like InProc side-by-side is the first step toward that. If you looked at, in 2.0, for example, any COM object that you had on your system, any managed COM object that you had on your system in 2.0, you know, when you installed 2.0, that was suddenly running against 2.0.
Right.
So that's kind of an impactful install experience, as we call it. Most, you know, if you didn't have 1.0 or 1.1 on your computer and you installed 2.0, those things ran against 2.0 for better or worse. You know, they might throw random exceptions, they might corrupt your data, but they ran against 2.0. Our big focus for 4.0 has been that non-impactful install. So InProc side-by-side prevents those COM objects from running against 4.0 just by installing 4.0. They'll still run against 2.0. And the kind of the no-roll-forward policy means that, you know, if you only have 4.0 on your machine and you have a 3.5 app, when you try to run that app, you'll get a warning saying, hey, you know, you should really go install 3.5. That was the version of the runtime you were built against. So maybe not quite as sexy as automatic loader stuff, but we're definitely, you know, we're reducing the amount of code that just tries to do magic stuff and run against the next version. We're trying to put that more in the hands of the developers and insulate end users from, you know, bad puzzling experiences where apps just crash, that sort of thing.
Excellent.
I guess one of the things that every test pass we do is on some level a compatibility test pass. Mm-hmm. Even daily regression runs against our current builds because we're just trying to verify that things work as expected from build to build to build, whether it be version to version or within the same version. So compatibility testing happens every single day at Microsoft. Right? And it's something that I just don't think that we really think about. We take, for example, all of our test cases from V2.0, move them forward to V4.0 and recompile them, built them against 4.0 and run them against 4.0 daily and have been doing it for a substantial amount of time. There's a version of source compat and binary compatibility testing that happens every single day. And it happens in every regression test lab across Microsoft. Every test pass is essentially a compatibility test pass to make sure you haven't broken something unexpected that our customers will end up running into. So I guess when you think about it that way, the kind of work that we do is critical.
Absolutely.
And we just do it a version to version at a much higher level using customer test cases. And that's the way that I view our apps. So again, if you've got any apps out there that run managed code, send them our way.
Outstanding. Oh, you better be careful. You're going to get some apps now.
Good apps.
Good apps. Uh-oh. All right, Niners, you heard that. Excellent. Well, hey, keep on keeping on. Great job. And hopefully there won't be too many breaking changes.
I doubt
there will be. I mean, already at 95%. I'm just going to clue in on there. I like that T-shirt. Nice.
That's right.